Hello and welcome to week two of the Survivor Know It Oz, breaking down everything that you need to know about our friends from the land of the long white cloud. Survivor New Zealand. I'm Nick Idanza and it's great to be back behind the microphone chatting to you all. So last week was my first ever podcast for IHAP. I had an awesome time with Phoebe Timmons. You can check that out at robhasawebsite.com or subscribe to the Reality TV Rehap-Ups feed in your podcatcher to check that one out. We got a lot of great feedback. Everyone was super supportive, very much appreciated. I was very nervous, but I was definitely pumped. Quite nervous because a few technical issues, but nothing that the genius Scott St. Pierre was able to, was not able to fix for us. So wait, that doesn't make sense. All right, wait. I'm just gonna go from after podcatcher. Okay.
No, keep going.
No,
the good stuff before.
No. Okay, you be quiet. You're not introduced yet.
Oh, okay.
We got a lot of great feedback on the show. That was so much appreciated. I was quite nervous, especially because we had a few technical issues, but the genius of Scott St. Pierre was able to fix all of those for us, and he definitely made the first show super awesome, and we're hoping that we can do that again for the second episode. So please let me know your thoughts on the first. You can hit me up on Twitter. I'm at Nick Idanza, and you can use the hashtag KnowItOz. So, okay, forget all that. It's time to bring in my next guest. He's another one of my Australian Survivor Season 1 castmates. He is the first person that I ever made an alliance with in the game. He is the hilarious, the always fabulous. It is Craig Ianson. Woo! Did I say your last name right, Craig?
You actually did. I'm very impressed. I love you so much. Thanks, Nikki. Thank you for having me on your podcast, Jamal.
Thank you so much for coming. There's no way I could do this without you. You crack me up. You crack up the fans, and I'm so looking forward to just sitting down and chatting all this through. So how are you going?
I'm good, babe. I'm good. I'm actually really looking forward to sit down and get to chat to you for like an hour. I can't believe I'm sitting here talking to you on your podcast. I mean, what the hell is that? What did you do? I'm going to watch what I say, but I've got a few things to say. What have you been doing?
How did I jag this? I have no
idea. What did you do?
I have no idea, Craig, but I was lucky enough to get the call up and I'm lucky enough to talk to you today because today's a very special day, Craig.
Yes.
Why is today special for you and I?
Nikki, you weren't supposed to say this first, you bitch.
Why not? Let's start. This is the top story. Forget Survivor New Zealand. This is the top story.
365 days ago, I would have been sitting in a hotel room. We flew out a year ago today.
To go play Australian Survivor. 365 days ago today, we flew out on the adventure of a lifetime. And I would say that in about 12 hours or so, I'm about to bump into you in the toilet in Sydney Airport and go, hold on a second, that guy's going to be on the show too.
I don't even remember that. When did you bump into me in the toilet?
Yeah, you were walking out, you'd washed your hands, and I was like,
I washed my hands.
Yeah.
Okay, what was I wearing then? What was I wearing?
Oh, God, I think you were definitely, I'm pretty sure you were wearing the yellow T-shirt, but I can't quite remember.
I was wearing a yellow shirt, but it was a Pokemon singlet. So
That's it. And I remember thinking that guy's definitely on the flight. And then I saw you again at the airport and we weren't allowed to talk. Obviously, everything's in lockdown. And I remember thinking this guy is going to be one to watch. And you were very dead serious in all of the car rides to and from the pre-game things. We weren't allowed to talk to each other. You know, before on the truck, I was like, this guy is so serious. And then you actually meet you and you realize that you're an absolute barrel of laughs. So, Craig, happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, Nikki. I'm great to be sharing this another milestone with you. Look at us, tick some more boxes up.
Totally, totally.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me, babe. I'm so looking forward to it. I love you.
And in 12 days, we can count down the anniversary of when our relationship turned sour.
When you were the first one kicked out of the vow.
Yeah, let's do that. So everyone in, let's say, what will it be?
Oh, let me get my calendar out. Let's have a look. Today's 16th, so 12 days from now.
Yeah, let's say look, around 12 days from now, it'll probably be the time that I came back with the immunity idol, the fake immunity idol clue.
Let's say what, about the 28th, 29th of May, if you want to go with that date, that's about 12 days from now.
So. Everyone, I want you to tweet us all on that day that hashtag Survivor Blindside Adversary, I reckon.
Hashtag backstab.
Well, look, Craig, we've got so much to get into today. We've got all this stuff that we can chat about Australian Survivor. We've got game changes we can touch on, but we're here to do a job and we are here to talk about Survivor New Zealand. So I want you to just get your general thoughts. What are you thinking? Big picture stuff. Are you enjoying the season?
I actually am enjoying the season, Nick. I did start watching it and think, what is going on? But then I had to take a step back and started looking at it from a fan's perspective. And they've gone old school. And I actually really am enjoying the old school format. I mean, the whole Redemption Island thing, I was like, what are they doing straight off the bat in Redemption? But... you know, they're two episodes a week. I believe they split it up really well for the viewers. And the thing I'm actually loving the most is you actually get to see more of a character development. I'm actually starting to see a lot of the people and know more about them and see more of their insights and more of the game. And I think with the, you know, fast paced of some of the seasons now, you miss a lot of that. And I think that's why people might go, oh, it's a bit boring. It's a bit this, but this is old school. This is, you know, it's not, I wouldn't say it's season one of say the US, but it's like season five, maybe season six.
Yeah.
But it's good. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. Look, I think that the format is definitely, better with the 16 people. Like, I don't think anyone has been given a disservice. I feel like all 16 cast members, other than maybe like D, who didn't get much time, but for the people that are in the episode, everyone gets their story told in some capacity. Yeah. And I think that's nice. That doesn't always happen. Bloody Troyzan has been like, you know, purple Troyzan this season. I don't think anyone's gotten that.
Who cares? No one wants to watch Troyzan anyway, honestly. Like, what has he done to get him some screen time? Sit there and flutter his eyes and flick his hair? Like, give me a break.
All right, well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Let's talk about the characters. So the characters, the contestants from Survivor New Zealand. I've heard a lot of people say, you know, they are strategizing, or some people say they're not strategizing. But do you know what? I actually think it's a pretty good mix. I think they're not the greatest players, but who is? I'm not. You're not. How many people can be the winner, the greatest players except the winner? There are plenty of people who go out there who have no idea what they're doing. You need to warm up. The first few days are a disaster for everyone, I believe. I think there are so few people the first time they go out there, they can come out and absolutely smash it. Straight away. Would you agree with that, Craig?
Absolutely. I mean, let's look back at Dee. On her exit, which you've discussed, she states she is a massive fan. Did you hear how much she indulges in Survivor? 60 hours or something a week on podcasts?
Yeah.
That girl knew what she was doing. But hello, what happened to her? Yeah. She can't judge, or like that just proves to you that you can enter this game thinking or actually thinking you know everything about it, and it's got nothing to do when you hit that beach. It's got nothing to do. I mean, you might know a bit of this, a bit of that, but it's got nothing. So
it's true. It's true. Would you say overall the cast, I agree with you. We're getting a good amount of stuff of people. Would you say that there's standout electric personalities? Like, is there like people that you just can't, like when they are on the screen, it lights up? Who would you say are the people that are in the running for that? Because there's always a couple on every season.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think about who that could be for Survivor New Zealand.
I'm actually laughing because watching episode 3 and 4, I'm still waiting for those people.
Yeah.
Is that bad to say? I'm sort of thinking that a lot of them are real mono. I mean, Shannon sort of started to spike a little bit with her excitement of making the decision of who she's going to go with. But other than that, I'm sitting there going, why are they all seeming so dull, or why are they all seeming not excited? Like, I was weirded when he said, "Welcome to Survivor New Zealand," and they all just stood there and smiled.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? You should be pumped. And yeah. No one did. I'm like, okay, something's missing. Like, yeah. what is going on?
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and hope that that was just edited out. But I agree with you. Look, I like the people on. I really do like the cast. Like some very questionable gameplay at times, but I like the cast. I think they're good to watch. But it does have a very odd calmness to it. Someone tweeted me and said that, "Oh, Tom is giving me very Nick vibes, but without any of the enthusiasm." And I think that's kind of true. Like a lot of them, like their to cameras are very reserved, and maybe that's I don't know if it's a cultural thing or whatever. But it definitely doesn't pop. I think there are elements of it that pop, like when you watch them interact with each other. Yep. But the to cameras are maybe something that I'm looking forward to come out even more. But I think that it takes time to warm up to that. Like it's weird sitting down with a camera facing you and a boom mic hovering above your head and trying to kind of be engaging. So I'm super hopeful.
At the same time, Nikki, like you were like, weren't you excited for that? Like you knew that that was going to happen and you knew that they were going to do that. And like, I mean, when, you know, obviously in our tribe, there was a few people that said, "Oh, I'm not going to talk about, you know, not give them everything that I've got going on." And in my head, I'm like, "Are you kidding me? I'm going to sit there for 2 hours and give them everything I've got to bloody say about the rain, the water, and everything that's going on." Like,
I nearly pooed my pants the first time.
Sitting there on the bloody bum numb on the rock going, let's go, Erica.
Look, I think that they're going to grow, and I'm enjoying it. I'm going to watch with anticipation for the personalities that pop. Yes. There's definitely potential there. So let's talk through a few of them. Who are the people that are standing out to you from a game perspective, from a narrative perspective, anything? Who are the people that pop to you that you want to talk about?
All right, so pretty much I'm sort of – I do like to watch a season and get a – just, I don't know, something that I like about someone, whatever it is, it can be anything really. And my contestants from the US go from A to Z. But this season, I'm actually sort of starting to drift a bit more towards Lee, not because of the namesake. I do like that he is sort of got that Maori look, that sort of thing, long hair. He just looks like a bit of that, the kid that's sitting back, but I don't know. I just have a vibe for him. I like it. You haven't really seen much from him. He's sort of like just drifting along other people at the moment. But
I'm going to say something.
Yeah.
I think he's got, I'm going to say better. If you know, if we had to do the power rankings of long-haired males, I think he's got better hair than Joey Amazing, better hair than Malcolm. That guy looks like he's in a Pantene commercial.
Yeah.
Like all the time. And
pretty sure.
Good on
him. Just wait till he gets home. I mean, like now the shampoo commercials and stuff are going to be coming in, you reckon? Like,
I see it.
So, I mean, with
who else are you thinking?
Oh, gosh. I'll tell you what. Is it Shay? Shay is driving me out the wall. I'm sort of like really getting annoyed with her. She's a wishy-washy.
Yeah.
Don't want to get into a religion conversation, but just...
No, look, we'll get into that just in a second. But when you say wishy-washy, the show itself called her the Mogaton Flipper. Like the show has labeled her that, which I thought was weird. But she's definitely got that wishy-washiness to her.
Just the regret of it, like... I don't know. She's starting to bug me, and it's bugging me because she makes a decision and doesn't stick by it, or she just goes back and second guesses it. And it's like, no, girl, like you're starting to bug me with that. And you can see her using that, and she's controlling. I mean, she's doing okay because she's controlling that tribe and in a sense because of how she is. But it's like, why? To me, I'm looking at it going, why doesn't everyone else look at her and go, ping off, woman? Because you're driving me insane, and you're just causing so much friction and frustration because you're just so backwards and forwards and sporadic. And it's like, why don't people see that?
Well, people do, because David Baltazar asked me a question. He said this: "Craig, Nick, do you think Shay is playing a sloppy game?" And I think that's that's the best word, sloppy.
Yeah.
She is sloppy AF. Yes. She is just back and forth, and you know, cutting a swath through the game, but not in like a good Tony way. She's doing it in this really kind of like messy back and forth. And last, so Craig, one of the things we need to figure out today is who's going to get the Danzy. The Danzy is the award, the best player of the episode, right?
Yeah.
This is what we've called. This is what people on Twitter came up with, the Danzy.
Yeah.
Last week, I gave it to Shay. But okay. I gave it to her with an asterisk, and the asterisk was that if she continues to show the early signs of being a questionable player, I will retroactively take back the Danzy. And you know what, Craig? I'm taking it back. I'm going all the way back to last week. I'm pulling it out of her hands. She does not deserve it, and I am removing it from her. So we had no one receive the Danzy the first week. And Tell me.
I was going to say, but see, that's the thing, Nikki. Maybe she does deserve the Danzy, because if you look at it, literally the past, besides maybe the first vote, it's pretty much gone where she was wanted it to go. Is that correct? Oh, no, that's not right, because she wanted Tom to go and they swung her.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. And look, let's talk about, you know, the top story is who was voted out. We have lost Izzy from the tribe.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Let's talk about that vote, because there was a lot of stuff that I was scratching my head at.
Yeah.
It was another fractured vote, and I think the sign of an unhealthy tribe is when not everyone is on the same page and consistently fractured. This was a 3-2-1 vote. There were three people who voted for Izzy, two people voted for Tom, and Shay voted for Lou.
For Lou? What is that?
What
was the point of that?
Look,
I honestly think that's because she had so much stick over her votes from what's his name on Redemption, old mate. What's his name? Bloody
Tony.
Yeah. So the crap from that, and how he's pretty much thrown her under the bus when he, you know, did his Redemption and won that. So she's now like, crap, I can't have a hand in voting the next person off, because then they're going to talk to each other and say it's me again, and just keep blacklisting me to all these players to say, don't play with me, don't come near me. So
that is a good point.
I just think my problem with her is she's not swallowing the pills that she's dealing with. You know what I mean?
That's
like, take responsibility for what you've done. But that's not what she's doing.
Let's just, you know, let me pose this to you. So you say it's because she doesn't want to get blood on her hands with the next person that goes to Redemption Island. I agree. I think that's a good point. But she's voting for Lou.
Yeah.
She's
absolutely
throwing a vote at Lou.
Yeah.
Like, this is someone who was in her, you know, the first episode this week, we get them say there's a four-person alliance.
Yeah.
It's Shay, Lou, Sala. Sorry, it was a three. It was Shay, Lou, and Sala, and then they joined, Arvi joined. She's now voted for someone in her alliance who's still there.
Like, yeah.
That is lunacy on the off chance that one of those people is going to come back from Redemption Island. Sure, one of them might, but both of them won't, and the vitriol was already there at Redemption Island. So I don't think you can put too much stock in what's happening over there, because now she looks like a flipper to the people that she's still with. She could have forced a tie, and a tie is, you never want a tie either, but like, and we don't know what the tie protocol is in Survivor.
Yeah, we learn about that in New Zealand, for Survivor New Zealand. We haven't been told anything about that, have we?
No, we haven't. I would be assuming that it would just be, you know, the 3-3, we vote again, and then if it's a deadlock, we, you know, but we don't know, but I just thought that it was really, really not great
stupid
play.
And Lou goddamn helped dry the pages of her Bible out by the fire. Like, honestly, she said that was something from her missionary days and everything. So you'd think you'd hold her steam, but not go and then stab the poor girl in the back. Like, honestly, for God's sake. Like,
can we talk about the Bible? And we're not going to start a conversation about religion and that's not what we're doing. But Craig, what would you say is one of the most difficult things about living on an island?
Keeping dry.
Shay, what are you doing? Like, keeping dry. Has she never seen an episode of Survivor before?
I don't know.
Are always wet. For people out there, God, who are going to be on Survivor one day, do not. It's not the hunger. It's not the lack of sleep.
It's the wet.
It is not the thirst. It is that you are always wet.
And that's what I laughed about when, what's his name? Big mate, Brew, Big Bro, Dreadlock Bro.
Sala.
I knew that was coming to me. Sala's like, out drying himself on the beach, not expecting anyone to be staring at him, but the rest are going, oh my God, and he comes back in and goes, I needed to get dry. I've been wet.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you serious? Exactly. Yeah. Like,
it's just so weird.
Having wet pants all the time. Hello, groin rot. Hello,
yes.
Like.
Yes. Just, now, if
God.
If people are not aware what groin rot is. Groin rot is something which plagued the Vavao camp in the early days of Survivor, Australian Survivor. And it is because you're always wet. What did
I walked
think?
Around in Baz's sarong for like, what, 2-3 days with no underwear or anything on, trying to dry out my groin rot because my pants would not get fucking dry.
Oh, okay.
Oh, gross. God. I would have done a salah if I had not had Baz's sarong. Let's just say that I would have been walking around doing a Richard Hatch because it literally was to the point where I didn't care anymore. I just needed to get dry.
Look, Craig, I remember. You don't need to explain it to me. You don't need to bring me back there. I just think bringing a Bible and something that is so precious to you, it's clearly the one that she has had. It's made of tissue paper. The pages are so thin. People don't wear their wedding ring on Survivor because they don't want it to get ruined, and that's made of metal. Yes. So people, do not bring precious tissue paper paged books to the island.
Don't bring a book. I thought it was the most ridiculous thing. Like, I understand the religion thing, not getting into that. Each to their own, 100%. But honestly, I do, I do have to agree. The praying stuff, and we've seen it on some US series and everything. And when I first saw it, I thought, oh, please don't. Like, I'm so glad in Vavao and in our set we didn't have anything like that, because I wouldn't have been able to keep a straight face or anything, because it's just like, don't bring that to this. But then to have the Bible and everything, I agree with you 100%. It's like, you said it was precious. You've had it for a long time. Like, what are you doing? And she did give the whole explanation of like, it doesn't matter. It is a game, and I understand, and it's more. But I could tell she was burning up inside.
Yeah.
Because something very precious to her was just absolutely destroyed. And you could see her going, I'm such an idiot for even bringing this with me.
Look, it's not a problem that she's religious. That's not what you're saying. I know that.
No, but absolutely not.
What you need
not.
To do is you need to think about things that make you different to everyone else, or things that make you stand out. And you know, if you've got controversial political beliefs, or if you've if you're from like a different ethnicity background, you try.
Or if you want to wake everyone up at 4 o'clock in the morning banging a drum to do effing yoga, keep it to yourself. Hello.
As someone who was forced to participate in Sanapu yoga and exercise, you just don't do those things that put a kind of like shine a light on you. But we digress. Let's get back to the vote. So we've got this vote. We've got the girls, the guys, sorry, all sticking together. How did you feel about Arvi sticking his neck out for Tom? When, Craig, answer me this question. When do you stick your neck out for someone, and when do you decide that, all right, my head's going to get chopped off, I'm pulling it back in?
Well, see, I totally see where Arvi was coming from, because, you're losing. You don't want to get rid of a strong player. Like, it's one of those gambles. It wasn't the time to get rid of Tom, because they would have needed him. And, same thing. Like, I think Arvi did pretty much, help Tom's case. Did Tom really do anything? He just sort of did his thing. But Arvi was probably the key strategist to save Tom. But
Weird. Tom says when Arvi says to him, look, the three girls are voting for you, he then says, but I don't want Izzy to go. She's voting for you now. Like, if she's voting for you, you have to vote for her too. Like, it's like he was in a like, oh no, but I don't want her to go. It's like, it's her or you. And I'm glad that he kind of eventually kind of realized that he needed to vote her out. So,
see, I couldn't believe that they had that conversation and then didn't look at each other and go, well, okay, if I'm being pushed into a situation to vote for you and you're being pushed into a situation to vote for me, who do you want to get rid of? And how about we turn around and get rid of Shay or one of these other idiots that we don't want here? Like,
I was
shocked that didn't. It's like they were presented with two people, and then those two people talked and said, "I don't want to get rid of you. I don't want to get rid of you either. Oh well, we'll just do our thing. See you later. Unlucky for one of us."
I think
what are you doing? again.
I think so many times it's because those two people on the bottom are scared to have the conversation, because then it becomes ammunition for everyone else. But in this instance, they actually had the conversation, so that the damage was done. If someone wanted to go and say it to anyone else, that was, they'd already, they, it's like that, it was a half measure. They already went and had the conversation and said, well, should we vote off Shay? That, you've done the dangerous bit now. You've thrown the name out. Just commit to it, and you can both still be there, and you can both get what you want. I just thought that it was lunacy, and I'm glad Tom stuck around. I like Tom, and I would have liked Shayna to get her comeuppance, because I think she's playing a bit sloppily. But you know, poor Izzy was the one who bit the dust. So I think we need to move on. Let's talk about some of the alliances and things happening down on the Hermosa tribe.
See, I think it's funny with the New Zealand accent. I kept thinking that they were saying mimosa, and I'm like, are you serious? Mimosa? Like, if you were screaming mimosa at me all the time, all you made me think of is champagne and orange juice, and that would drive me up the wall. And so through the bloody what is it, endurance challenge, the sandbags, that horrendous running through the water. What are they called? And he just kept like, I swear, I'm going, is it a mimosa? Why does he keep saying, go mimosa, go mimosa's? Kind of like, stop it with the champagne and orange juice.
Well, we've got the Mimosa tribe and the Megatron tribe.
Yeah, these, the Megatron.
These are our two tribes.
I knew you were going to say, I'm like, what's he going to say? He's going to mention Megatron.
Oh,
like,
yeah, of course.
The Mimosas and the Megatrons.
Right, I like it. Well, on the Mimosa tribe, Craig, let's follow this up. On the Mimosa tribe, Who? What do we got? We've got this huge division, this millennials versus Gen X happening, of the young versus old. Maybe, would it be Gen X? Maybe. Millennials versus Gen X. We'll say it anyway. How do you feel about this whole division with Nate on and Barb on the outside?
See, I'm actually loving Nate. I really like him.
Interesting.
They're both playing. And that's what I like about those guys, is you actually I see the younger five, that there is more followers in that group, like Lee and his name? Jack. And Jack's just, doing his comedy thing and everything, and saying that, I've got more to come. But you're not seeing them do anything. And then is it Mike? Not Mike. Not, what is the buff one that thinks he's ruling this? It is Mike.
The Rowan.
The shark boy.
Yeah.
Is just that already in that arrogant state of, I've got it, I know what's going on, and just like, you're a twat. I'm extremely impressed with the older couple. I am shocked that both of them are on the same tribe. I thought that was a weird move by casting positions on tribes, but those two know what they're doing, and they're doing it. They know where the position they're at, and they're literally trying, and I'm watching them do their moves to get in there. And that's why I'm impressed with them, because they're not sitting back and just sitting back. They're making moves and trying to crack in, and they know what's going on. And the five of them are just a little bit arrogant and smug to not think that they're doing it.
Look, I agree that they are definitely putting in the hard yards, and it must be so frustrating to know that you're on the outside simply because of your age,
which is bullshit. At Susie Q. I mean, are you serious?
Yeah. Look, we both are people who aligned early on with the older woman. And I think that was a good move, and it had nothing to do with, it was a strategic thing of, we've got to make sure we've got the old. It was because personality, and I feel like we gave her a go, and I wonder if they're giving them a go. They probably are. We only see a snippet of it, but I wanted to talk about Nate, because I do agree with you. He is making good choices, and he is kind of trying. Sorry, he's making choices, but are they good? That's the question I want to ask you, because we get a lot of bluster in his interviews, and in one of his interviews, he says, I'm good at thinking on my feet. And then a couple of segments later, we get this shot where they're sitting at the well, and Mike asks him something. Jim, I can't remember the exact question.
Says to him, what's your strategy? What moves? How do you want to play? And he just went dead. Yeah.
It was like a 15, 20 second blank stare at nothing. And I was like, I actually, I actually touched the volume on my computer, because I thought the volume had cut out, but it was actually him just sitting there saying nothing. Yeah. You have to be quicker than that. You cannot let people even get a sense. As someone who hesitated when I came back with that, I hesitated for a couple of seconds and then a couple of minutes, and the damage was done. Like you can't let people see into your hesitation. So that was one thing that I'm going to put a bit of a black mark against his name. And he also says, you know, early on, he's like, oh, look, I can pick up, you know, I'm very observant. I'm a police officer. And I'm sure he is. But he didn't even notice on the first day when Izzy was stealing those pots.
No. So, no, he did. He said he saw it and just thought that they had dropped them near their mat or something. He didn't register that she was stealing them and just said, oh, I saw that she was over at our pot, but I thought she'd stumbled.
What do you think about this whole about Shannon, because Shannon has kind of positioned herself as almost, you know, we could consider her the swing, but not really. She is someone who the people at the bottom in Nate and Barb are trying to court her, but she's also entrenched in this kind of like young person's alliance. How are you feeling about Shannon?
See, I'm enjoying Shannon. I do think it was weird by 1 minute she was sitting there and talking to the older pair, and then next thing you know, like in the next interview, she's like, so I'm like going with my five. And it's like, where was your decision to do that, bitch? Like, you didn't, there was no explanation. I think obviously that's down to the edit, and that's some of the things we'll talk about going, what?
Yeah.
But yeah, she sort of went from this whole stage of, oh, I could use that and I could go with this way or go with that way. And she was, and then all of a sudden, banged up. She's changed her mind. She's not doing it. Oh, it was a bit stupid for me to do that. And it's like, no, it's not necessarily stupid, because you actually made some really good points that you're in a five where you are literally number four or number five out of that five. And if you lose the next three, you were pretty much up for the chop. So your decision to get rid of one of the three was actually a really good point. And you just succumbed to the schoolyard woohoo.
Yeah, definitely. She definitely did. And because she did, she recognizes, she goes, there are alliances within alliances within alliances, but Michael's in all of them. So she recognizes that there is a danger going with this five. But I don't know, if I was in that position so early on in the game, it's not cut and dry that there's four on either side and she's the one in the middle that decides. Right. It, you know, it's tricky because she would have to pull over someone else.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's tricky. So I sympathize with her. And in this instance, I feel that maybe I would have made the same decision. Look, you never know. Oh, but
absolutely. I think anyone in this situation would have made it. That's the thing about being the viewer and being the contestant. Obviously, the fear will make you go with the numbers, which it always does.
Yeah.
Or we've been in the situation. So, but yeah, I think she could have, if she was a bit more smart and thinking ahead, I think she could have used Jack to move ahead, or just have that thought, or maybe realize that her and him were in those positions and say, hey, I think we are four and five. How about we stick together and keep this option open in case something happens and we need to do something about it? But naturally, no, go with the five. You know, you would obviously, honestly do that. So,
well, you bring up Jack. What do you think of Jack?
What have we seen of Jack besides him playing? Like, what's he doing? Bloody playing with the phone. We've seen that before a couple of times. I mean, Shane did it precisely with his BlackBerry.
Yeah.
And now he's
Greg Buist with his coconut phone.
So it's just the same sort of thing, but he's just being a bit of a dick, I think. And it's like, what Deb said, that you'd get over it. You'd get so, what Barb said, you'd get over it. You couldn't take someone seriously or think I could use this person or I could strategize with this person or move forward with this person if they continuously were joking or trying to be funny.
Is there someone out on your Time of Survivor, and I know I'm probably setting myself up to be the answer here, but is there someone out on your Time of Survivor that after a while you were just like, I cannot stand this person anymore?
Yeah, it was you, stupid. No, I don't stand you anymore. I mean, God, after you lied about your birthday and I just sat there and went, oh my God, is he seriously going to be this sort of a person? And it was like every day you wake up and go, cool, what day is it for Nick today? And it seriously did. Like, I think that was a big thing, was you just went, I can't deal with it anymore. And looking back on it now, it seems stupid, but out there it is literally like, I'm trying to just get through. And the constant, I don't know how many times me and JL, I rolled you over the fire, but it just got to like this comedy thing where I didn't even have to eye roll anymore. I just had to look and she just would have to look and I'd be like, there's nothing I can do to make it stop.
There was something you did.
There was something I did. And I think I pulled that off pretty well. But.
You did. I definitely set myself up with that question, didn't I?
Oh, well, Paul, but you knew the answer, so it's fine.
Okay. Let's just talk about one more person at Hermosa, and that is Georgia. What do you think? People say she's running the show. You know, they say that her and Mike are an obvious pair, but she's got a boyfriend. She's playing the flirt game. People are saying, I don't really see the flirt game, but what are you thinking?
Oh, I mean, yeah, she is doing a bit of a flirt thing, but what else do you do out there? That's how you bond with, not bond with people for everybody, but that's what she's doing. She's bonding. She's, you know, I find it weird just because it's a girl and a boy out there and she's bonding with him in that situation. Yeah, it can look like flirting, but they're bonding in a situation of nothing. Like, I mean, God, that's what I was doing with Baz. Like, was I flirting with Baz? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we were also bonding, you know? Like, I don't see the flirt card, but is Georgia running the game? No. I honestly don't really think she knows what she's doing properly yet. But she's done enough to get into a majority alliance and be pretty much towards the top of that. So the girl's doing good.
Yeah, I'm quite high on Georgia. I think she's got huge potential. I'm interested to see where this story goes. I have a feeling that the editors are setting Mike up for a bit of a fall.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah. Absolutely.
It'd be interesting to see how that comes about. I thought it was interesting that Jack said, you know, the predicament about Georgia and Mike being an obvious pair. I was in that predicament for a lot of the game with Elle and Lee. Like, they were an obvious pair, and it's something that you just have to work around, because when you like both of them and you want to work with both of them, you have to throw your lot in with them. And I there's nothing you can really do. It's just like something that you have to kind of learn to live with. And I think that's what he's doing, especially with the fact that this episode, we got a whole scene about him and Lee becoming closer. So I think the only way that you can kind of combat that is to kind of form your own mini coalition or your own bonds that can kind of rival the bonds that other people have. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you on the editing. Mike's coming up to a fall, and you can tell that with the editing of the cockiness and that sort of thing. He's going to be one of their first big, such as, you know, the big Mr. Iden's a blindside. I think Mike's going to get something like that. So, how it comes about, I'm not sure, but I don't think that Lee or Georgia will have a part in it, but let's just wait.
Okay, well, let's move on to Redemption Island, because I think that of the two episodes, that bit there brought along the biggest drama.
Yes.
I think. Now, we have the funniest moment, I think, of the whole series so far, that probably the most bizarre moment. So Jonathan Sloan wrote into us and he said, where does Tony's pity party at Redemption Island rank in the most bizarre moments that you've ever seen? What did you think?
I just laugh at him being so bitter. And I mean, Tony to me is just a typical guy that I don't really like Tony. And I sort of keep clocking off with him. His reactions and pity parties and everything's typical, but it's exactly like Hannah said, like, you know, he did it the night before, she did it the night before, she let him have his spit. But he's just reacting a typical old male way. It's exactly like when he walked into the camp, he led the way, said this is how we should do it. It's the reaction that I would expect. Oh, I'm going to get you all back. You're all dead to me. How dare you? I'm going to slit your throats. You're all such losers. Like, and you just know that it's not going to happen.
Yeah, look. But
you just sit there and go, keep talking, mate, because you just know it's not going to happen. And it's just funny to go from such a strong guy to such a little bitch in a sense, but you can tell where the emotion's coming from. No, you backstabbed me, and the worst thing a New Zealander likes is a backstabber. And
did you know that? Did you know that that was on the national flag? That, you know, one thing New Zealanders don't stand for is backstabbing.
It's backstabbing. Like, what game are you playing, mate? Like,
yeah.
What do you think you did to Hannah or whatever at the beginning? Like, you've done it. It's like, shut up.
Look, I didn't like Tony. I didn't like Tony, but I love me some salty Tony. Like, I think it's the most interesting part of the show we've gotten so far. Like, because it's so strange and it's so interesting. And like, and I just think that the best bit was when he went in so hot, like he was heated and he was like there and he was ready to cut them all down. And then Sala and Lou were like, oh, I didn't vote for you. And they start crying. And then he's like, oh, okay, cool.
It was that Shay, wasn't it?
Handball that off. Let me just walk that back. Like, he went in
there. I've got one question. Sala, it was you, wasn't it? No, bro. It wasn't me. I didn't vote you. Oh, shit. I've lost everything. What do I do now?
Yeah, he was definitely very the wind was taken out of his sails there. It was great. It was great. But look, people say, look, and look, I got this as well. Like, oh, you're so bitter. You're so bitter. This is what being a, when you watch the show, you'll never understand. Because I didn't really understand it either. That when you spend so long, like in our cases, both you and I, we spent 16 years wanting to play this game. Mm-hmm. You spend months, you know, to get out there. You, you know, put your life on hold. You get there. You get your chance. You can almost taste it, and then it gets taken away from you.
Yeah.
Now, that's a hard thing to swallow. You get over it, and you get over it quite quickly, but you still...
Oh, I'm glad you did.
You have those feelings. You have those feelings, and you want to look, and everyone can kind of keep it together for their final words to camera, which say, oh, they got me, you know, better luck. I'm voting. I'm going to rooting for blah, blah. But then you go back to your hotel room, and then you kind of like get a bit upset and you get a bit angry, and then you eventually get over it. When you're still in the game, when you've been pushed to the brink and then yanked back, it's really hard to control that emotion, because being on Survivor is all about trying to control your emotions, whether you're being angry, sad, happy, whatever. You don't want to do anything in too many extremes. But when you get voted out, and this happened to me when you guys voted me out, like you have those feelings like, oh my God, my chance has been taken away from me. And even then, when you know you get it back, it's hard to walk back that level of emotion, and you do eventually get over it. And so I can sympathize with Tony, who's now thinking, wow, I need to fight my way back into this game. It's a tricky spot to be in, because all those feelings just kind of bubble up, and then explode. Now, Craig, like when you were voted out, you did not know it was happening because it was an idol, right?
Yeah,
and your
exactly.
final words are some of the funniest I've ever seen on the show. And anyone who saw those would think this guy was like absolutely fine with being voted off. Is that what happens, though? Is that the case in the coming days, the coming weeks?
Absolutely. So pretty much, yeah, exactly. I had no idea. Yeah, you go through that matter. You go through, as soon as your name's read out, wall crumbles, but at the same time, after experiencing the game for 27 days, you obviously know, unless there's a fluke of luck like what happened to you, babe, is that there's nothing you can do. You're grabbing your torch and walking out. Like, you're gone. So, yeah, I completely appreciated the gameplay, and I did, because I didn't know where I was going, and I'd hate to be in a situation where I knew that that was possibly happening, etc. But then, yes, gave my final words, appreciated them, gave them the kudos that they deserved, which I still believe they deserve. But then it does start to hit you like a ton of bricks, and it does start to make you go, that's gone. Everything's gone. Oh my God, I'm not done. They're still there. Why am I sitting here and they're not there? And just that whole separation feel kicks in. And yeah, and then you do start to do the whole what ifs, what buts, what maybes. So it's a process. And for some of us, it can, you know, be quite quickly to get over. But I don't think any of us really ever get over it. It's more of an acceptance of it. And I've talked to obviously some, you know, survivors that played a long, long time ago, and they're still in the same sort of boat. So sort of comforting, but at the same time, yeah, you just learn to accept it, and there's nothing you can do, and to appreciate it and love it and learn from it, really.
Yeah. Going back to your point about, you know, you said I wouldn't like to know that I was being voted out. I've had both experiences. Trust me.
It's better to know.
It's better to know. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I can understand now that obviously if I had known that, you know, Theobi was being a mole and drawing my name in the sand, I would have gone up there and been like, oh, hell no. Yeah. And done something to change it. But at the same point in that situation, you know, I had the numbers, I thought we were sweet and everything was cool. You know, I did have a bit of a blow up and made it other people make the moves because I was sick of doing them and all that sort of stuff. You know, I floundered in the water, and it's just so funny that how everybody says, and you've seen it before countless times again, where they say that one time that you flounder or that one time that you take your eye off the ball, bang, you're done. And that's literally exactly what I did. Took my eye off the ball for 1 second and boom, it was gone. So
it's a tough game, mate.
Yeah, it is. But see, the thing is that, like, the whole boat thing, but then see, we also got a bit of a taste of, like, we never got to play with Redemption Island, but we did get a little bit of a taste of that. And you obviously know the time that we got a sense of what Redemption Island would sort of feel like. And I mean, was obviously when we booted you and you just went over to Sunapu. Besides the fact of the knowing you're going home and stuff, in our season, we also did get a really good taste of, not a really good taste, but a taste of what Redemption Island would feel like. And I mean, it was for both of us, for me, because we voted you out and then realized, crap, he's not gone. We are going to have to deal with him later or face you later. And for yourself, it was like, ha ha, I'm not dead yet. I'm going to deal with you later and I can deal with you later. So imagine that every 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
You know, like, that would drive, that's that. I can understand the element of Redemption Island, and I can understand how in the game, that is a completely different level of crazy. And I can appreciate it as a viewer. I can understand how it doesn't work and people go, it's ridiculous. But I know the angle now of where they were coming from and appreciate it so much more, because to deal with that sort of twist would be, gosh, crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it definitely throws, like, not just one wrinkle, but it throws so many wrinkles in the game. And it was like, continuous. Obviously it worked out great for me, but like, I was able to go and like have the best time ever. But
yeah,
like,
exactly.
It definitely changes the dynamic for yourself, for myself, and for everything. And this is what I think, you know, why Redemption Island is tricky, because it can sometimes pay off and it sometimes can't. But because you really do have to send people off, vote them off with like a very, you know, like in a very smooth way. And and it just leaves so much like collateral damage still in the game. And that's kind of why, and things like this can happen. For example, Lou giving up information on Shay to the other tribe.
I know. What was that? Like,
I have no idea. Lou's another sloppy player. Like, I just don't understand why you would do that.
Well, she also hasn't voted with the tribe yet, has she really? I don't think she has. I think she's one of those ones that just keep throwing out a random vote. So
maybe Hannah? I'm not quite sure.
Maybe Hannah. Oh, did she? I thought she was in a thing with Hannah. And there was Hannah, Lou, and Izzy. I thought the three of them were in something together. And then it was, and Shay. And I think Shay was the one that said, nah.
Yeah, true. So, well, let's talk about Hannah. What were your thoughts? Because, you know, we do need to give Hannah a bit of a send-off, a bit of a eulogy.
Yeah, bless.
What did you think of Hannah?
Oh, poor girl, poor chick. She was shafted.
It's
like she was one of those chicks that she just look and go, oh, God damn. You were put out there. You had so much potential. She was a strong girl. You could tell she was a bit of a character. You knew she had more to give. And it was just that first impression and that stupid, stupid twist of day one, two of you, see you later. That just, it was ridiculous. I feel for her. And I think that it was just completely unlucky. And I don't know how their first impressions did. I think it was just that typical survivor thing of, pick the biggest person or the oldest person. Yeah. Let's just go with them because everyone would jump on board of it rather than let's actually suss some people out and see who I want to keep.
Yeah, I agree. And I think she was a good character type. It's a shame she was that we didn't see more of her.
I agree.
We need to move on. I've got a question here from Austin Smith. Okay, so this is about what happened at Redemption Island. He says, so Shannon and Georgia decided to keep the information they learned about Mogaton at Redemption Island themselves, but then shared it with their five strong alliance. Should you always share information with your alliance members or should you keep secrets on a need to know basis? What are your thoughts?
Need to know basis. Don't keep it. Like, I mean, you might be in an alliance, but you don't obviously a slip of the tongue or, you know, anything. If you give all your information up, anyone can use it in any way, shape or form. I mean, okay, just a pure example, I could have told you something and you could have just gone and told Tegan, like, she wasn't in our thing, but she was part of your thing, you know what I mean? So you never know exactly what people are doing. And we saw that when Barb was talking to Jack and having a chat with him.
And then
went straight to them and told them, and he was playing stupid with Barb and Nate and then turned around and went back and told them, clearly and precisely exactly what had happened. Yeah. So it's sort of that. No, they're not in alliance and it's not based around, but it's that sort of aspect that you have to worry about. And in an alliance, it's not necessarily obviously in your degree. You wouldn't say the whole story, but all you have to do is drop something which that person that you're telling mightn't like the other person and they could use it against it. It's just simple. So it's, need to know basis.
Well, I think it's an interesting parallel and I don't want to keep bringing back our season because we're here to talk about Survivor New Zealand, but it's an interesting parallel to what happened when Tegan and I went on the quest. We got the neutral box. We had the idol clue. I did what they did and that was we walked back into camp. We said the fragmented truth to everyone. And then
fragmented. Yeah.
Alternative facts. We told the alternative facts to everyone. And then the plan was I was to tell, and then I did 10 minutes later, I told you the real clue. Now I couldn't back that up, but I told you the real clue. I told my alliance. It was the same thinking. They just did it much smoother than I did. So their plan was to go in and tell everyone a bit of it and then tell their alliance the rest, therefore keeping a separation. As was my plan, to tell you, Sue, Jenna, the clue, which I did, and then keep the clues out of everyone else's hands. It just shows how situational Survivor is, that this the right idea in executed wrongly can just be an absolute disaster, and that's what makes this game so hard. There's no rule book. We can sit here and we can, you know, say, oh, they should have done this, they should have done that, but when you're in the situation, you do the best with the information you've got, and you try replicate that in another tribe or another time you play, and it probably isn't going to work then either.
I was about to say the same thing. You could use one move now, either 3 days later, use the same move and it goes completely the other way, or see a move in a season before that worked perfectly, use it, boom, you're gone. Like, exactly right.
I want to talk about some of the challenges.
Yeah.
What did you think? So we actually participated in one of these reward challenges. Challenge where we ran around the course with the sacks of sand. What did you think? What's the best strategy for that to win that game?
As soon as they gave up the girls and it was just the three guys running around on the Megatron. Was it Megatrons that did that?
Yeah.
Megatrons that did that. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? No. Like, the Mimosas totally used the proper strategy for that tribe, for that situation. But as we just spoke about, we did the same thing. And guess what? Like, there was five of us to two of you and, you know, Snapu got us. So it was reversed in ours. So exactly the same thing. But I love that challenge. What do you do?
I think the difference is that the rest of the Mogaton tribe tapped out too early. They relied, they identified, look, we've got these three stronger guys. We're going to tap out early and let them run the race. You can't do that. When we did that, look, we had a tribe of how many people? Like nine at that point, I think it was, eight. Yeah. It was seven. And we made myself, Kylie, and Sam and Lee, we were in it all the way to the very end. And when we realized that it was not that far to go, Kylie and I tagged out for the boys to do the final sprint. to just for us to have all dumped it on, you know, Sam and Lee, that just would never have worked. So
it would have worked for me.
Yeah, for you it would have worked. But no one cares if it works for you, Craig. I got that chocolate, not you.
I didn't want the bloody chocolate. I just want to kick your ass.
I thought it was so weird when we had Matt, the host, going, "It's Nick and Nick in this game." I'm like,
"I know."
I'm not in this game. What?
Oh, that's why I'm loving watching it. I was doing the same thing.
Nick and Nick.
And then I was laughing at that, and then a few things I kept laughing at, and Tom's like going, "What are you laughing at?" And I'm just like, just the accents. And I think in the first couple of episodes, it took me a while to work out what bloody people were saying. Like, I'm sitting there listening to like Tony going, "What's he saying?" Sometimes I couldn't grasp what he's saying, yeah. And I'm just like, God, I love it. I just love it.
Well, that brings us to Close But No Cigaragua, which is the beautiful moment of the podcast where we get to poke fun at all the funny little things that we saw, like the accent. So the Close But No Cigar, Close But No Cigaragua, the moments that are almost right but not quite right. These might be production choices, things in the challenges, things that they're allowed to do. What do you got for us? Because I put the call out on Twitter and I was inundated by people sending in all their Close But No Cigaraguas, and it was excellent. Sean Murphy on Twitter, Nate being able to sit out back-to-back challenges.
Yes, I didn't even notice that.
What is that about?
True.
That is, that's one of the core tenets of the challenge rules.
Pretty much.
Maren Curry, wow, how many changes of clothes do they have? Rain jackets and all. What are your thoughts on this?
See, that's actually something I didn't even notice, and it wasn't until a bit into episode 4 that, which one, I think was it Kat? Kat mentioned the other day how, "Oh, what about all the clothes changes?" And I remembered her saying that, and then I started to look for it, and yeah. I don't think I was even paying attention to the clothing. So I'm gonna see it continuously from now on and just be like, damn the clothes. Like, can I get back to focusing on this attempted gameplay?
Well, look, it's funny because they've got rain jackets, and look, old school Survivor, they had rain jackets as well. Yeah, like,
that's
so
true.
We can't throw aspersions too much, but they definitely have a lot of change of clothes. I think that I counted in the first week, Sala was wearing like 4 different t-shirts at one point.
Really?
Across the episode. And look, he might be borrowing other people's clothes. That happened on our season. And I remember people on Twitter being like, "Where did Nick get a hat from?" I'm like, well, clearly that's Brooke's hat. But what else have you got? What's the weird little tidbits that are a little bit strange and off-putting for you?
First thing I noticed was my things are tribal. So the big star on the floor of Tribal Council, I was like, that's a bit awkward. What's that mean? Is like a northern star or representing?
It looks like the set of my Year 7 play.
Or like the big star that symbolizes off the, you know, the national flag or something. Maybe that's to do with it. So I sort of noticed that. As you mentioned, the hot dog folding of the
hot dog style. Hashtag hot dog style.
Oh my God. Hashtag. I was like, I first started noticing them fold it and then went, what are they doing? Like, what are they folding? And that made, and then the whole putting it in the end. But the thing I keep cracking myself up laughing about is when Mr. Host, which is bloody, what's his name?
Matt Chisholm
reads the votes, brings it back to count, like read them out, and he gets it and slowly and delicately puts it on the pedestal in between those rocks to go, I've got to get this in right. It's fit. Sweet. Now I'm going to read the votes. And it's like a pause. Next time you watch it, it's like a 2 to 3 second. Is he going to get it in properly? Oh, he's done it. Cool. Now we can keep going.
Look, I'll see your urn placement and I'll raise you the snuffing technique.
Oh, well, just the slam down to the fire.
Yes. The slam. The slam. It's the slam, this giant arm rotation. Bam, slam on top.
Putting out a bloody cigar or a cigarette or something, just filling it into the cement. Like, calm down.
Good on you, Matt, for trying to make it yours. And I just want, if there are Survivor New Zealand contestants listening, because I know a couple of you reached out to me, this is all in jest. I'm loving the show. I just think it's so funny that there are these little things, which happened in our season as well. That's, there were so many people that were like, that would never happen in Australian, in American Survivor. And trust me, I was one of them sitting there going, that shouldn't be happening. That shouldn't be happening. So, so I understand. I sympathize with you, but everyone watch out for, go look out for the torch snuffing and the urn placing.
See, that's what, if there's any contestants from New Zealand Survivor, listen to this. And I hope you are, because I just want to say that, this is all through love, and I am just absolutely extremely happy that we get to talk about your season, and just brilliant that it's been brought to New Zealand and we get to appreciate it. And I just go back to what I said before, and if anyone's sitting there going, this is crap or anything like that, just remember, just go back and watch, I don't know, Amazon or Vanuatu or some season of that of the US, and you'll see this type of game, or you'll see this type of setting and style and everything like that. So I just think everyone, if anyone's going on about production or anything to do with New Zealand, how about you take a step back and back off a little bit?
That's what we've been doing though, Craig.
I know, but no, I'm laughing at the little things being a Survivor fan, but in the appreciation of the season and what they're actually doing, I think they're doing pretty sweet.
I think so too.
I can laugh about, like, I mean, I don't really, you know, they might have a couple of different bits of clothing and stuff and all that sort of thing. But to me, they're still going out and eating termites. They're still, you know, suffering. And you can tell that already. You can physically tell that. If I'm just sitting here laughing at a bit of set pieces or being, you know, Magic Matt and going, what was with the flag at the end of the blindfold challenge? They're little things. The urn going into the rocks. That's funny little things.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, make me appreciate New Zealand. And I tell you what, I'll probably look out for them next season and go, please just do that stupid urn thing again.
Or the
slam the snuff down. Like, that, they could be hashtags in, you know, by next season, which we are all looking out for, because it's typical New Zealand, and bloody hell, let's bring it on.
I like it. Well, we've got a few questions, Craig. Can you stick around for a little bit longer and answer them?
Nikki, for you, of course I can, babe.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm going to start with one from Owen Craig. He says, I don't know if this counts as a question, but I love Craig.
Oh, thanks, Owen. I love you too, babe.
I wonder if it's Craig or Craig, because...
Craig. How's it spelled?
Craig, as in your name. So we've got Craig and Craig. The announcements, the pronunciations there have been like announced wrong for you across the last season, I thought was great. Oh, and when Craig and JL got together, I thought it was great.
Craig.
Craig.
Craig. Oh my God, it's Craig. No, it's Craig. Gosh.
Michael Butler O'Rear Jr., what advantage twist from US or Australian Survivor do you want to see brought into New Zealand, Craig?
Oh, any really. I think US is just at the moment with Second Chance going crazy with the twists, but that's what I think Second Chance is about. I mean, Game Changers is about, which Game Changers is about the twists and everything, which is fantastic and it suits the series. I don't think New Zealand needs it. Maybe they'll chuck in an idol, maybe they won't, but the game is 16 people. They've got Redemption Island. They've got enough sort of going on that they don't necessarily, maybe I'm actually sitting there thinking that the basic game twist, all they need at this point is maybe a bit of a tribe switch up. That's all real.
Yeah. Look, the I have a feeling that if they were to bring in the idol, it would just be stay in someone's bag for the whole season anyway.
If they even found
but
it.
But I hope that they bring it in. I love the idols. As someone who had an idol, someone who almost had an idol the first time, then found one and played one, like, it adds so much such a dynamic nature to the game. So let's hope so. Maureen wants to ask, Craig, can every day be casual Friday? Have you seen Jack's t-shirt?
I have seen Jack's t-shirt. Maureen, every day to me is casual Friday, and I actually do regularly get in trouble for it at work. So,
the Pokemon singlet on casual Friday?
Yeah, Pokemon. Actually, if you didn't see The Amazing Race, I actually still wore a Pokemon singlet. I just turned it inside out.
When Craig and I met up a couple of months ago, he was wearing his Pokemon singlet. So maybe
I wear that Pokemon singlet all the time. If you see me walking around, it's going to probably be in a Pokemon singlet. And you're going to ask, God, do you wear anything else? As Phoebe, the queen, the bitch that stole my idol, always says to me, I'm either wearing yellow or a Pokemon something. And I'm like, yes, probably. Yellow for life. Hashtag.
A couple more questions really quickly. David Bloomberg says, who's getting the most Nickish edit so far?
In New Zealand? No one.
Is that a compliment, Craig? Are you saying that no one...
Absolutely. No one's matched. Like when you said before the whole Tom thing, I was like, no. Besides the fact when whoever said to you that, Tom's getting the Nick edit, I was like, are you serious? Tom, all he's doing is delivering monotone confessionals that I'm like going, dude, like, what?
Yeah, look, it's teacher plus... people don't trust him, plus dark complexion equals Nickish.
Exactly. Just wait. Oh, I was going to say, just wait till his balls start hanging out and then he'll take the key.
All right, let's keep moving. Last question. Seeing as you brought it to toilet humor, Edmo wants to ask, Craig.
Yeah, go.
How many days till you were on the board in reference to... Jack's conversation about
this today. I was actually laughing about it and going, you on the board yet, Deb? What are you on the board? I was like, God, we should have used that terminology. I think...
just a number. We don't need any more about groin rot. When were you on the board?
Day 17? Day 18?
You didn't do a poo until day 17?
Yeah, pretty sure.
No like, way.
I think... I had a bit of an upset tummy day two, day three. After that, nah, not a thing. And when it did, it felt like an elephant was coming out of me.
Well, Craig, look, I wouldn't know. I was eating burgers, chocolate,
Samoan feast. I was dead. Yeah, I'll say day 17, 18. I'm pretty sure around then. It was a long time.
Right. Well, Craig. Let's leave that one alone. We'll add that to the pile of inappropriate topics. Craig, who's getting the Danzy this episode? Who is it? Who's the best player of the episode? What are we thinking? Because I've got a suggestion.
Well, I was going to – for some reason I'm leaning towards Shannon, but yes. I don't know. Just because of the quick switch, but I do think she's got her head. She's giving a lot of good decisions or game switch. Yes. You know what I mean? So yes. I'm going to have to go with her.
In agreement, she's got a game. She seems to be thinking ahead. She's got a likable personality. She doesn't seem like a slouch in the challenges. And I think she's positioned herself well where people feel they can trust her and bring her information.
Yeah.
Shannon, congratulations. You get the Danzy.
Good work, Shannon. I hope you're listening.
Last question, Craig. I forgot to ask you. What are your thoughts on game changers? Give it to me quick. What are you thinking?
Hashtag Queen Ceri.
Yes.
I said from the beginning, if she makes a merge, she's going to be unstoppable. I was so pleased that she didn't even go to Tribal Council before like the merge. She's brilliant. I absolutely love her. I just can't speak enough about how great she's doing. And I'm actually starting to think she's getting a really good edit. And I keep saying in podcasts and stuff, I'm scared that it's going to be like a build up for a blindside edit, but I'm actually thinking, Nikki, that she is going to be so close to the end. I'm starting to think there's a possibility that my girl can finally have that crown.
Craig, I think that would be a fairy tale end for so many of us.
Fairy tale and well deserved. And oh my God, I'd scream and burst into tears.
Me too. Craig. Congratulations. We made it to the end.
Good work. Good work, Nikki. I love it.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining us. That was absolutely amazing. There was some really good stuff in there, and I am looking forward to following up on a lot of these points that you've picked up, especially the urn placement. I definitely
will. That was great. Have a look at it, and I'm gonna look at your clothes changing.
Good. We need a hashtag.
Oh, God.
I've got a few suggestions.
Yeah, go, babe.
We're not going with groin rot, that's for sure.
No.
Okay. We got hashtag Nick and Nick.
Yeah.
Or
Nick and Nick.
Nick and Nick.
That is actually just one of the best things. I laughed so hard when I heard that today. I was like, oh, my God.
So should we go with hashtag Nick and Nick?
Hashtag Nick and Nick.
All right, yeah, I like it. Totally. Hashtag N-I-C-K-A-N-D-N-I-C-K. I love it.
It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant.
Craig, where can people find you on social media if they want to interact with you, let you know how amazing this podcast was with you and getting your insights? Where can they hit you up?
They can hit me up on Twitter. I'm not necessarily a full Twitter user, but you can grab me on Twitter at Craig I. Anson without the apostrophe. Otherwise, you can naturally hit me up on Instagram. I am on Instagram and post regularly with all my love and everything, and that's just Craig I. Anson.
Will you post a picture of me and you hanging out with your Pokemon singlet so people can have a sus?
I have done that, but I've actually, without you even realizing, taken a photo of our conversation happening on my computer right now.
Oh, wow.
Taken a while ago, and that is already going up.
Oh, Craig, you're all over it. Guys, follow him. He's got plenty of things, great things to say, and I think he's definitely going to be a return guest on the Survivor Know It Oz if he will come back.
Probably not. Nikki, I'd love to be back. Anytime you need me, babe, I'm here. You got my number, girl.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Craig. Everyone, we will catch you next week for week 3 and a very special guest. Stay tuned to my Twitter when I will announce that later on in the week. Take care, everyone, and goodbye.